The message you're about to hear has been made possible by the continued financial support of the friends and partners of Faith Hill. To find out more about how to become a partner, be sure to visit faithhill.tv.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who we are.
Well, why don't you hold your Bible, lift it up real high, and shout, "This is my Bible. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. A doer, not just a hearer. Today, namhlanje, nasichaye, vandag. I'll learn from God's word, and my life will never be the same, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, by the word of God." Amen. And so about 5 weeks ago, we started a new series that we called the Born Identity, also known as the Born Again Identity. Amen. And so this is, talking about who we are in Christ. More so, we are focusing on the 7 I am statements that Jesus made in the book of John. And we say these I am statements, Jesus made them as, different personalities of his being, his deity, and he carries these personalities, and he made them to reveal what he wants to do in our lives, in our everyday living. Amen? And so building up to today, we found out that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And one of the things we also learned is that there is a common thread amongst all these different I am statements, and there's a thread that's life-giving. And so all of the 7, it is because Jesus wants to give life. You know, "I am the bread of life." What does bread do? It brings life, it gives life, it gives sustenance in the natural. And we also found out that, the kind of bread that the Lord gives is different from the bread that you and I buy from the supermarket. His bread, is a supernatural thing, and it gives, sustenance in a supernatural way. Elijah got to eat some of that bread. If you remember, he was faint, running from Jezebel, and the angel came, gave him a piece of bread, said, "Eat." He ate that bread. He was full for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if you can get that kind of bread here. They want you to get hungry so you can come buy some more the next day. You understand? So, all of these are life-giving. Amen. And he also said, "I am the light of the world," and light gives life to things on the earth, plants, animals. We all need light, from the sun for us to live. If you did any kind of photosynthesis, you would remember that light is a big part of it, right? "I am the door of the sheep," and he said, "He who comes through that door will find eternal life." "I am the resurrection and the life." That's what he said. "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd leads us to a place of good green pastures. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine." And part of what we also learn from all these different I am statements is that God wants to be relational with us. God does not want to be transactional with us. We live in a world that's pushing us in the direction of transactional living with the Lord. And this is why a lot of people don't have a functional relationship with God, a day-to-day relationship with God, but they can, and God doesn't mind you running to him when you're in trouble. Where else are you going to go? But he doesn't want you to live that way. Yeah. Amen. He doesn't want to have a transactional thing going with you, because if it was really transactional, how much would you bring to buy a blessing? We all couldn't afford it. And so God wants to be in a relationship with us. And, if you look at the light of the world, that's a relationship between light and the world, the door of the sheep. There's a relationship there between the sheep and the shepherd. There's a relationship there between the true vine, or the vine and the branches. They are connected. And because of that, they can receive the life and the sustenance that comes from the Lord. And so God is calling his church to a place of relationship and not transaction. Amen? And so what we should be pursuing is a relationship with Jesus and not just, I've heard people, I was in the U.S. and I met this couple and I was talking to them and I was preaching at a church in Phoenix just 2 weeks ago. And I asked them, I said, you come to this church? They said, no, we don't. They said, we're currently shopping around for a church. That's what they say. And I said, shopping around for a church? I was confused. I said, what you mean? They said, we're just kind of going from church to church to see which kind of church will give to us what we like. Kind of like when you go to a buffet. I said, man, that's the wrong way of doing it. You should be praying to God and God will, you know, show you a place that you go. And when you go there, don't try to connect with the church. Try to connect with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because you try to connect with me, I'm gonna disappoint you one day. Yep. Can I prophesy? Yeah. One day I'm going to disappoint you. That's a prophetic word. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so today we are looking at Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And where did he say that? He said that in John 11. Let's go to John 11, verse 17. John chapter number 11, verse 17. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he already had been in the tomb 4 days. Who is he talking about? Lazarus. Lazarus had already died and he had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now that's an interesting statement that Martha makes. However, you and I cannot make the same statement. If you remember, Jesus, before he left, he said, it is expedient or advantageous for you that I go, because when I go, I'm going to give you the same, just like me, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come and abide in you. He lives on the inside of you. Now, Jesus, in this context, was limited by a physical body, and so he could only be in one place at a time. But you and I can never say we are without God, because we have a promise that says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And so Martha says, you know, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now we have him living on the inside of us. That means we have the resurrection life of God in us. Can I get an amen? He says in verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, Jesus is saying that in a present continuous tense, you'll rise again now and you'll rise again in the future, right, in the sweet by and by. But I like how Martha responds. It says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's interesting how religious people always postpone what God is trying to do in their lives to the sweet by and by. And so Jesus is saying, your brother will rise again in about a few minutes. She's saying, no, I know you will rise again when we get to heaven. And that's the message they preach to us. You know, for many, many years I was in church and life was kicking my backside, whipping my head. I mean, I was in trouble. I mean, my bills had bills on them. Have you ever seen when they start charging bills to your bills? You already have bills, but they put extra bills. And I'd go to church, and I'd say, Pastor, man, my bills got bills on them. And Pastor would say, don't worry. One day, when we all get to heaven, what a day it will be. Now, the problem with that was every time I'd get back home, the landlord would be waiting for me, saying, man, I said to the landlord, one day when we get to heaven, he said, no, I want my money right now. I couldn't preach the pie in the sky to the landlord. He wanted a steak in the plate today. And so Martha is saying, I know it's going to happen for me someday in the future. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to do it in your life right now. And he goes on to say, I am, verse 25, he didn't say I will be, he said I am. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. Someone shout, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You know why she said, yes, Lord? Because no, Lord, is an oxymoron. You can't say no and Lord at the same time. You can either say no and hush, or yes, Lord. If you're going to call him Lord, you can only say yes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him, Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in a place where Martha met him. So Jesus is walking to this crisis situation. It's amazing that I read throughout in the entire scripture, Jesus never ran anywhere. He always walked. He was never in a hurry. Oh, but Lazarus is dead. He's been dead 4 days. It doesn't make a difference. It's going to be 3 days and 30 minutes. But, you know, I'm going to fix it when I get there. I like that. And the teacher, you know, they went to meet with the teacher. And verse 31, then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw Mary, rose up quickly, went out and followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. And, you know, so these people who were following her were actually paid mourners. You know, they were paid people to come and make the funeral extravagant. And so what they would do is they would follow you around wherever you go. If you want to go weep at the gate, they would come with you and weep, because you can't weep alone. You're paying them money anyway. So, you know, it's got to be grand. And so when they found out that she was going to weep at the tomb, they said, let's all go so we can all weep together with her. And it says in verse 32, is that where I am? Then Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. That's the shortest, you know, verse in the Bible. Two words, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could he not, this man who opened blind eyes also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave and a stone laid against it. The reason why he's telling us this was because back in these days, they would share the tomb. It wasn't a grave, it was a tomb like a cave, and so they would put several bodies in there, right? And it says in verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And so she's preaching impossibility to Jesus. Have you ever seen yourself preaching to Jesus? I've done it before. To where I'm like, Lord, you don't understand. This thing can't be turned around. It's gone. It's far gone. Let's just, you know, have a good old funeral and just enjoy ourselves. And that's what she was saying, Martha, to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to her, take away the stone. Verse 41, then they took away the stone. He said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And so your part in it is to believe. Someone say believe. That's your part in it. It is not to work the miracles. It is to believe that God can do what he says he will do.
Amen.
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 And so you say, then take away the stone. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was lying. Notice it didn't say where Lazarus was lying. It says the dead, because there were a few people in there, where the dead was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, past tense. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now the reason why Jesus had to specifically say, Lazarus, come forth, was because there was enough power in come forth to bring every dead body that was in the tomb. And so he had to specify which one he wanted for it to come out. And so he says, Not the other four or the other five or six. No, Lazarus is the one that's coming forth. And this is why, once you start operating in this law of confession and releasing life through your words, you've got to be specific what you're calling forth.
Amen.
Can I talk to some single ladies? Oh, my single lady. Oh, my singularities. Oh, my singularities. Put your hands up. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. You can't just say, come forth. Because every gorilla Manila is going to be coming forth asking for a date. Can I take you out? Can I take... No, you got to be specific. Who's coming forth? Let me help the single people. All my single ladies, lift your hands up. All my single ladies. You got to help me with this. I want y'all to shout. I want y'all to shout. I'm calling him forth. Tall. Dark. And handsome. And rich. Praise the Lord. Why would you believe God for a broke brother? Amen. And so he says, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And so we see that there is resurrection life in this thing. And because you and I have Jesus living on the inside of us, we have this resurrection life. And God can bring dead things back to life. Amen. You know, I remember about 2012, 2013, you know, my wife and I went to have lunch with this couple, Ramona, I forget the husband's name, we went to have lunch with them. What was his name? Kieran? Thiran. Went to have lunch with them, and while we were there, you know, they said, we're about to leave, and they said, hey, would you pray for us? The doctor said the womb is dead. The wife's womb was dead. I don't know what that meant. They said, you know, that's what's going on, and would you pray for us? And they caught us off guard. I didn't even have Marshall to, you know, play the favorite song that I like, you understand? I wanted to charge the atmosphere. Yeah. No, there's no need for any of that, because you're not using your power. It is his power. This is why Jesus went to the tomb and he didn't ask for the atmosphere to be charged. He just spoke three words. In fact, I found out that the longer the prayer, the smaller the power. I found out. Jesus prayed powerful prayers and they were all two, three-word prayer. When he spoke to the storm, what did he say? Peace, be still. Now, if it was you and I speaking to the storm, the Lord, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to you this day. Man, three-word prayer, raise the dead. Because it's not your power, it's his power. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so we prayed for this couple. We prayed for them, laid hands. And we said, womb, we command you to come back to life. And we left the place and we said, now get busy. Because, you know, there are natural laws that work with spiritual laws. And 3 months later, they called us to say, hey, we're pregnant. And you know what was interesting? Is that, you know, God got them pregnant by his power. And they wanted to sustain it by their power. They said, oh yeah, now that we got pregnant, let's arrange a fasting, you know, for work. I said, no, it's God's power that got you pregnant. Why are you trying to sustain it with your own power? He said, now let's go get olive oil from Israel and we're going to put a cross on the belly every morning. I said, no, the olive oil can't do much for you. It's Jesus that does something for you. Can I get an amen? Man, we all got to be set free from trying to incorporate all these different things to bring the power. No, it's Jesus that brings the life. And if it's Jesus who's brought the life, let him sustain it. Can I get an amen? And so, you know, we prayed for them and they carried all 9 months. Jesus helped them carry all 9 months and they had a second one and their kids are now teenage boys and they're doing really well in school and so on and so forth. And I say this testimony to say, you know, this power to get dead things to come back to life is already resident on the inside of you. Every single one of you. Amen. It's already in you. It's time for you and I to start releasing that power. Can I get an amen? Let's go to Romans chapter number 8, verse 11. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8, verse 11. This is a powerful scripture. I believe this one should be one of your favorite. You put it somewhere where you can read it, where you can see it. Let's read it in the NLT, if you will. NLT. Now, I like it in the NLT because he states it as a statement of fact, right? Listen to what he says. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in who? It lives in you. Okay, let's say it like this. Someone shout, the Spirit of God, the same one which raised Jesus from the dead, lives on the inside of me. That's what he's saying as a statement of fact. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So he's showing you that this same Spirit is not just for spiritual things. It will give life even to your physical mortal body. Because he knows religious people have a tendency to say, oh yeah, brother, I have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and I can feel it. Oh, I felt it. Ooh, I felt it. Oh. And we leave it at feeling, but we are broke, sick, depressed, prejudiced like the rest of them. No, he's saying if this Spirit is in you, it will have an effect on physical things, your mortal body too. It will have an effect on your tissues in your body. It will have an effect on your organs in your body. It will have an effect on your faculties in your body. Well, you don't have to die depressed. You don't have to die with all these kind of diseases. I saw on the internet this one lady, she couldn't even remember her children. Couldn't even enjoy her grandchildren. She had Alzheimer's. You don't have to die that way. If you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you can age in reverse. It says of Moses, it says his sight did not diminish. It says he became even much stronger as he grew older. And so if this resurrection life is just for spiritual things, a pie in the sky, Jesus is trying to get us to see that this is not a pie in the sky sermon. This is something that starts in the spiritual realm, but it has to affect the physical, natural, your mortal body, your business, your career. You can release this resurrection life. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, in 2015, 16, you know, we got a call from one television network, and they said they wanted to meet with us. And so I went with Pastor Ash. You know, we went there to meet with them, and another guy there came with us. And we went to that meeting. We didn't know what they wanted. And, you know, when we were in that meeting, we found out that, you know, they wanted to give us free television airtime. That's what it was about. And so while we were in that meeting, they were just talking. But they were really just talking amongst themselves. We were just there to kind of witness the conversation because, you know, when you're broke, you can't say much. Have you ever gone to family meetings and you're broke? Somebody tried to say something. It's like, but this is chief. Let's wait for Uncle Richie. You know? Let's wait for someone who can talk and back it up, right? And so we were in that meeting, just sitting around, you know, just observing. And then they started discussing, you know, in front of us. They said, you know, what are we going to give them? He says, you know, we're going to give them a 5-minute broadcast. You know, which was good with us. And then the other one said, nah, let's just give them one pilot program. And then, you know, they will, you know, we'll see what the people, the viewers, will how they will respond and stuff. And then it became, okay, let's give them 36 weeks of television airtime, free television airtime. They gave it to us. It cost millions and millions of rands. And so they gave it to us absolutely free. And so we started recording. And so I started, you know, doing this broadcast. I mean, it was so good. We reached the third. We were the third most watched show on TV in terms of TV rights. You know, if that matters to you, we were cooking with olive oil. We were cooking, right? And so, you know, we and then someone, you know, didn't like the deal that I had. So they called me and halfway through the 36 weeks and they called me. And in that first meeting, it was three against three, right? It was a group of six people. In this meeting, it was just him and me. You know, I smelled the rat there, but I didn't. So I went in there, and he said, to cut the long story short, you're fired. You know, Donald Trump apprentice said, you're fired. fired me on the spot and went and, you know, character assassinated me. I wanted to do a Facebook Live just to kind of defend myself. And the Lord said, nah, don't worry about it. I'm the resurrection and the life. And I remember thinking, Lord, if you put me on television, I can't believe you can't keep me on TV. And the Lord said, man, I'm the resurrection and the life. I specialize in bringing dead dreams back to life. And I said, we'll see about that. That's what I said. I said, we'll see. And the Lord, you know, 6 months later, sent someone else. They slid in my DM, sent me a message, and they said, hey, listen, I'd like to have coffee. And usually I don't respond, but on this one I responded because the Lord said, you know, to respond. Met with him. Cut the long story short, they gave me the same deal on Faith Broadcasting Network. And now not only do we broadcast in Africa, we broadcast in the UK and in the US. And we've been at it for a few years now. Free of charge. And so the dream that died with the other network, guess what? God said, I'm the resurrection. I'm gonna resurrect it. And it's going to look better than it ever was. Can I get an amen? And so don't tell me that God can't bring back to life dead dreams. God will bring them back to life. Can I get an amen? All you got to do is go to the tomb of your dreams and say, Lazarus, come forth. There's a story in Ephesians, in Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel, chapter number 37. Ezekiel, is this helping you? Man, Miles Monroe said the richest place on the earth is the graveyard. You know why? Because people die with their dreams. They take their dreams with them to the graveyard because they allowed someone to speak death into those dreams, and those dreams died with them while they were still alive, and they just gave up on them. You know, I talk to we have two girls, and I talk to them all the time, asking them, you know, about their dreams. Man, they got big dreams. They want to be everything. The other one wants to be the president. She wants to be the younger one. She said, I want to be the president so that I can. She said, I want to be the president so I can hold accountable people who litter. That's what she said in her own words. She said, I don't like people throwing around litter everywhere. So I'm going to be the president and I'll take care of that. Yeah. That's what she said. I said, there's a whole lot more involved with that. But, you know, I didn't say that. I don't want to kill the little one's dreams, right? But, man, people go through life and we're told you can't, not people like you, and we allow our dreams to die. And most of us, right now, we are surrounded. We're standing in a valley, just like Ezekiel, that is full of dead dreams. And so what do you do when you're surrounded by a valley filled with dead dreams, business dreams, dreams to get married? I thought I was going to get an amen over there. I was talking to Tanaka yesterday. I said, man, why aren't you getting married? He said, I can't find someone. I said, man, give me 24 hours. I'll find someone for you. Yeah. Talking about I can't find somebody. I said, give me 24 hours. I said, man, listen, I can get someone for you. And Martin. We're going to have a conference. I'm telling you, they have designed a life. We're going to have a conference with all the senior bachelors. I'm going to call it the senior bachelors. Where's Zane? I'm going to call it the Senior Bachelor's Convention. We're going to anoint them with oil. We're going to get them a prayer shower straight from Israel. No, we're not going to anoint them with oil. We're going to dip them in a drum of oil. Amen. And so we see this guy here. He's in a valley filled with dead dreams. And so the scripture says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full. Someone say full. It was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many. Someone say very many. Amen. So many dreams. It was full of dead dreams. Very many in an open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Someone say very dry. What that means is a business plan was there, but there was no support, no capital injection. It was dry. No stakeholders calling you, no customers, nothing. No rain in the sky, not even a cloud. He's surrounded by dead dreams. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation of total hopelessness and impossibility? There were very many, and it was full, very many, and they were very, not just dry. In other words, this situation is beyond redemption. But here's the beauty of God's prophetic words. God will give you a prophetic word for what the future will look like. It does not exonerate you from going through challenges and, you know, having to deal with stuff, but at least it can keep your focus on what this thing can look like. When Ezekiel was put in the valley, God was saying to Ezekiel, "There is your army." Now, Ezekiel had a choice to either say, "There is no army, these are bones." Or to speak to the bones and say, "Life." That's how you release resurrection life. You don't talk down on your dream. You don't speak to that business plan and say, this one we've given up. This one we've shelved. This one, nothing is going to happen for this. And you're surrounded by 20 of them. God keeps giving you all these ideas, and you're just surrounded. And you see, God has not called you to be a bones commentator or a social commentator. He hasn't called you to comment on what it looks like. Everybody knows what it looks like. God has called you to be a divine orchestrator. So you speak something else that's different from what it looks like in the natural. Now, the church has become experts at becoming social commentators. Oh, Lord, they can tell you what it's really like. They can tell you what the doctor really said. They can tell you how incurable this thing is. People come to me all the time. They're trying to get me to pray for them, but they give me 2 hours. I have to stop them halfway. Say, "Man, you give me too much information. All I need to know is head pain." Two words, head pain. That way I can pray in faith. But they don't do that. They say, "Pastor, you know, his headache. He can't." When I was 3 years old, that's when it started. And my auntie had the same thing. The doctor said it's genetic. And then they give me this whole scoop. And right at the end, they say, "Now pray." What am I going to pray? You've just schooled me in unbelief. So if you want me to pray powerful prayers, just give me stomach sore. Oh, that's it. That's it. Stomach, hand pain. Oh, yeah, I can pray for that. Not multiple. What's it called? Now, how am I going to? I can't even pronounce it. How am I going to rebuke it? How am I going to rebuke it? Multiple, it will stay. It will say, "That was not me." Multiple scleroses. No, that was not me. I don't know who he's talking to. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so I'm telling you, man, don't focus on the bones. Because when the Lord came, he said, "Ezekiel, what do you see?" He said, "I see a valley." He said, "Can these bones live? Can your dream live?" He said, "Oh, Lord, you know." He says, no. You speak to that dream. In other words, you release the life that I've put in your belly. He says, "Out of you will flow rivers welling up to eternal life." But it has to flow out of you, watch this, through your words. Amen. Someone shout, "Bones, come alive." That's how you speak to your dreams. You know, in 2018, I was at a World Builders Conference in Colorado. And while we were there, you know, I had this one guy come to prophesy to me, Joseph Z. And that was the first time I met him. And, you know, I'm not suspicious or skeptical, you know, about prophetic words, but I'm cautious. You know, I'm always cautious, you know, because, you know, people use prophetic words for all kinds of, you know, things. You know, try to control. You can't even buy a car without a prophetic word these days, you know. You can't even. And so, I mean, it gets crazy. So I'm really cautious, right, when I receive a word. And so I was listening to him. He's prophesying. He started telling me about where I grew up. He started telling me about the things I went, you know, through that only I would know in that, you know, context. And I'm paying attention. I said, "Man, this guy, he's got the Spirit of God, and he's, you know, he's prophesying." And he started saying, "The world is going to open up for you. You're going to travel the world and preach the gospel in all these different places." And true story, in six months later, in 2019, I mean, my calendar just filled up. You know, some of the things I did without wisdom, we were sharing it with the couples on Wednesday, because, you know, when you're a young preacher, you want to preach, you know, so you say yes to every speaking engagement. And I remember the one that hurt me the most. I was speaking, Cliff, and I was sitting having breakfast, getting ready to speak. I'm in my element, you know, man of God. And my daughter called me and she said, Dad, you know, I wish it was the first week learning how to text. So you know, I'm really having a good time texting back and forth with her. She's sending me voice notes, man. And the Lord told me, he said, that's how I feel when you pray. I felt that for the first time. I said, ooh, it felt good. When I was showing everybody, I said, this is my daughter. Listen to her. Voice notes. She said, Daddy, I love you. I said, oh. Little emojis, everything, man. And then she said, I just made the swimming team and the gala is today at 2 p.m. Broke my heart. It's the first ever swimming gala. And the Lord said to me, I didn't send you to that preaching engagement. You went on your own. And man, it hit me. It hit me like a ton. So now I pray about every speaking engagement. You understand? But I was excited because the world was opening up. And, you know, we were going to start traveling the world and speaking in Netherlands and Canada, in the U.S. and stuff. And, you know, as we were taking off, Q, we were on the runway of the assignment, just about to take off. And then COVID hit and the president said, nobody's allowed to leave. As it was about to take off, it just landed. You talk about dead dreams. You talk about being a party pooper. COVID was a party pooper. It's just a poop that party. And I said, Lord, this is it. And it shut down. Shut down. And the Lord said to me, no, do not worry about it. I am the resurrection and the life. What looks like it's dead in your life, I'll bring back to life again. And so we just, you know, continued, you know, doing what we were doing, being faithful and so on and so forth. And I'm telling you, right now, today, I have more invitations to preach in places than I can ever fulfill. We've already started putting things in 2025 and 2026. Because the Lord, I'm telling you, you turn your dreams over to God, God will bring them back to life. He's the one that gave them back, that gave them to you. You turn them over. Don't try to you can't even do it. You can't bring the bones yourself in your own strength. But he says, I am the one. I am the resurrection and the life. And so what we've got to learn is to bring dead things to Jesus. And not to try and mouth-to-mouth resuscitate, you know, dead dreams. A lot of people try and do that. They print 100 business cards and walk around. They do all these different things. In my calling, you know, go to places and people just giving you books. You know, I didn't ask for no book. You give me a book. You know, I'm powerful, you know, just so you know. You know, man, you ain't got to do any of that. That's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You're trying to do it in your own strength. Don't do it in your own strength. You turn it over to Jesus, and Jesus is the one that's going to inject life in it. He said, I am the resurrection. When he came to the tomb, he said, show me where Lazarus is. I'm the one who's going to bring them back to life.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to close with this. Let's close with this. It says time up at the back, but I'm going to read one scripture. Can I read one scripture? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the resurrection life that's in you. Where is this resurrection life? Man, I'm telling you, he can resurrect dead marriages. I've seen dead marriages coming back to life. Amen. I said amen. He can resurrect dead things. It says in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. So dead things definitely do rise. Amen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in this life we have only hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, if you don't believe in the resurrection, a power of God to bring dead things back to life, then your salvation is in question. Because when you got saved, you translated or you were moved, right, transitioned from being dead in your trespasses to being alive in Christ. Amen. That's what transpired. And so he's saying, you know, because of that, all of us should believe in this thing. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first, someone say first, he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man, singular, came death, who might be that man? Adam. By man also came the resurrection of dead, who might be that man? Jesus. Verse 22, for as in Adam, all, someone say all. in Adam all die, even so in Christ all, which means to the exclusion of none, in Christ all shall be made alive. So when you come to Christ, you are made alive. Because you are now, but before you came to Christ, you were a sinner, not by act, but by association. Did you hear what I said? When you were in Adam, you were a sinner by association. Now that you are in Christ, you are victorious by association. And that's the life of God that's in you. Why don't you stand on your feet? Someone shout, I'm alive.
In him.
In him. Someone shout,
my body.
Every organ.
Every tissue.
Every cell.
I submit it
to the power of God
that
brings dead things back to life.
I speak life right now
to all my dreams,
all my dead dreams.
I call them forth.
Come alive.
Come alive
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And
some of you may have to get back home, start laying hands
on your plans,
on your dreams,
and start speaking life
to them,
and
make it your life,
make it
your priority,
and
don't
commentate
on how
that dream
is not going to
make it.
That's not
what
God has called
you
to do.
Can
I get an amen?
Amen.
God has called
you
to be a divine
orchestrator.
He has called you to
cut a new path.
And the way
you cut a new path
is by
speaking life
and releasing
the
resurrection
life
that is in
you.
We don't give up.
Man,
one of the things
that
you see
around
scripture,
people
of faith
don't
give up.
We
don't know how
to quit.
We just
don't know
how to do
it.
What
do?
We speak.
Even
when Lazarus
is dead,
we know
there is
still hope.
Says
he's dead
4 days
and he's
beginning
to smell.
It doesn't
matter. There is
still hope.
What
do?
We speak life.
Can
I get an
amen?
Amen. Can
I speak
to young people?
They
say, man, I can't
get a
job. Speak life.
Say,
man, I
just lost
a job.
Speak
life.
I can't
get, you know,
partners
to
put
money in this
business.
You speak
life.
You don't
speak
I can't.
You
speak life.
You
call the partners
forth.
You call
the
job forth.
You
call
the
opportunities
forth.
Amen. I'm
telling
you, as you
do
that,
he
says in the
end,
Ezekiel
looked
around and
he
was surrounded by an
army
ready
to
go
and
do battle.
Before
you know
it, you're going to
be surrounded
by
sales,
record-breaking
sales.
He says
a net-breaking load
of fish,
record-breaking
sales. You're
going to
be surrounded
by
record-breaking
injection
of capital.
You will
not
know what
to do
with it.
You're going to
be surrounded
by
record-breaking
customers.
Man,
they'll
be
on
your
website
will crash
because
of the
customers
that are
coming
your way.
Someone
shout,
I receive that.
Partners
will
come and crush
your website
because
they all
want to
do it
at the same
time.
You don't
give
up
on
your dream.
We
had a
glimpse
of that
during
COVID, you
know,
because we
only
allowed
100
people
to come
to church.
We would
open
that
thing
at
6 p.m.
every
Sunday
night
and
the
website
would crash.
People
fighting
to try
and come
to church.
And
the Lord
said,
that's just
a glimpse
of what
you
can
experience
in every
other
area
of your
life.
You
know,
people
will
fight
to
favor
you.
Yes,
Lord.
But
you got to
start
speaking
different.
Can
I get
an
amen?
Amen.
I'm
telling
you,
as you speak
different,
you're
going to
become
what
I like
to call
spiritually
search
engine
optimized.
You
know, on
Google,
when you
type
food,
the
first
one that
comes
up at
the
top
has
been
search
engine
optimized.
And
you
can
become
spiritually
search
engine
optimized.
When
they look
for
someone
to favor
Mephibosheth,
your
name
will come
up
at the
top.
Hey.
They
don't
have
to go
to
page
2,
page 3,
page
4, 5
to find
you. They're
going to
find you
right at
the
front
page.
Yes,
Lord.
Someone
shout,
I'm
search engine
optimized. They're
looking
for people
to employ,
my
name
comes
up
at the top.
Amen. Right at the top. Right at the top is called the favor of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for these, your precious children. We thank you, Father, for you have spiritually search engine optimized every single one of them. You have put the resurrection life on the inside of them. Lord, I thank you that as they go forth, your favor that surrounds them will begin to become a magnet on their life to attract men and women that will come and help them in the assignment that you have called them. For those that need lands, I thank you that you're sending men along that path. Those that need partners, you're sending men. Those that need capital injection, you're sending men along on that path. We thank you, Father, that these shall be a billboard, a testimony of the resurrection life of Christ that is in us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And someone shout, amen. Amen.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. To find out more about how you can become a partner, visit faithhill.tv today.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith Hill, that's who